Hello and welcome to the Even Me podcast. This is Morph
and Kim
and Kimberly.
And Kimberly, yes. Today we have a special guest, Kimberly. And so we got two Kims today. Look at that.
Yes.
Today we have two topics we'll be talking about with Kimberly. First one will be, how many times do you need to be disrespected before you say that's enough? And then the second question is going to be, can you be in a committed relationship without being married? So we're bringing that back since Kim wants to talk about it again.
Oh, my God. So, because he's in a relationship. Let's just put it out there. And they haven't decided where to get married.
Or when. Yeah, you got to say the whole thing.
So, and that's what I was like.
I just tried. I mean, we talked about it.
Tell Kimberly, where did you try to take her?
So we did a tour in Vegas, because we're in Vegas. And during the tour, they let us know that now Taco Bell has weddings. So this is not your average Taco Bell. But they say that a lot of places over there, you know, they cater to weddings. If you didn't know that Vegas is the number one wedding capital, that's where they make a lot of money from. So this Taco Bell is a Taco Bell cantina. So they have like real liquor, not like your Taco Bells here in Texas, where it's just like a margarita that's kind of like bottom shelf liquor or anything like that. This is an actual cantina, and you can actually get married there. And then all you have to do is just give them like 4 hours advance and let them know you want to get married. So I tried. You know, I told my fiance she wanted to get married, and my father-in-law was down because we were down there with them, because we were at the, what is it, the Gospel Awards, the ALMA. I think it was the ALMA Awards. So we took them. We went down there with them, and it didn't happen. My fiance didn't like it.
I'm with her on that one.
I mean, it's a hangover too, so I mean, I told her we could find like the one from Hangover and do it, but I don't know. We're gonna do it one day. I mean, it's not like I told Kim before. It's not important. It's not the first thing on our mind right now because we travel a lot. So how do you feel? We can bring that in now. So how do you feel? Do you feel that you need to be married if you're in a committed relationship, or what's your opinion?
Well, because I'm single.
Okay.
So for me personally, I think if everybody's on the same page, then you can still be like in a committed relationship but not be married. But the end goal is to get married. So me, I don't think I would move in with someone if I'm not married with them or married to them, because I just feel like that's like the ultimate right there. For that's just my opinion. Right. Some people do things differently, because I have friends that, you know, have done that, and I've seen the ups and the downs of that situation, and I'd be like, ooh, I'm putting that on my paper. I ain't doing that. But like for me personally, I think if, like I said, like if both parties are on the same page with it, then I'm okay with that. But then at the same time, I still want to get married, and that's like the full on commitment.
Mm-hmm. So that's my opinion. You definitely want to get married. So, I mean, yeah. In my opinion, I mean, you know, everybody gets to have their opinion here. So, I mean, I guess it all depends on situations. So like in your situation, that's what you're ready for. That's what you want. So that's kind of what you're looking for. With me and my fiance, we felt more like as long as the families were compatible. So like me and her existing daughters that she had from a previous relationship, as long as we were okay, you know, and I met them and they were fine with me, you know, moving in. I mean, it took about a year or two for us to actually move in together. There was like a point in time where I was spending weekends, you know, here and there, but I had my own place. So I guess what I'm saying is it all depends on the actual relationship and how it's working out. Now, if your ultimate goal is to get married because you've never been married, like, you know, like we've talked before, it's like, okay, then You know, you have to, you set the goal and that's what you're going to strive for. But like me, I've already been married. You know, I did the whole shebang and all that. And, you know, my fiance's never been married, but, you know, she loves to travel. So, you know, she's okay with right now, or let's say it this way, right now she's okay with traveling. I mean, we've been together almost 10 years, you know, and Kim, I don't know. Kim is Kim.
Well, okay. Let me go to my situation. I've been married once, engaged 3 times. So at first I was cursing myself. So after I got out that relationship for 12 years, I said, I never want to be even married, whatever, whatever. And I was like, that's a curse. Cause you know, the tongue is a weapon. So I didn't want to do that because never know what God has in store for me. But I think me personally, for me to get married, I have to even get into a committed 100% relationship, I need to know myself. I'm still learning myself. I have trust issues. I give people the third degree. I'm Matlock, Perry Mason, all in one. Because you tell me something, you better come back and say it the next time exactly the way you said it 4 weeks ago. I have to work on that. But right now, this is the, I told Anthony before, in 13 years, I have my own bed. I'm loving it. I'm loving having my own bed. I'm loving not waking up. I mean, you know, you do, if this person becomes exclusive, you want to do things for them, but I'm loving, I don't have to cook for nobody. I'm loving all that type of stuff. So let me get used to me being, but eventually I want to get married. First of all, I got to get past the broke ducks. I see a duck and all you are supposed to do is stop, let the duck go across the street and keep going. Not me. I get out the car. I go get the duck. Oh, I'm so bad. I feel so bad. You got a broke beak. Let me take you and care for you. And after I heal the duck or help the duck through or he gets better, he bites me in the ass. And he goes his way. So I'm like, okay, let me just step back. Let me step back. So I got to teach people how to treat me. That's the thing. Because I'm more reserved. I feel bad that if I say something, it's like nagging. Or and stuff like that. So then I'll withhold. But now I'm like, this is me. This is how I feel. So I can tell somebody, if I respect you, you respect me.
So Kimberly, have you had any broke ducks in your life?
Oh my God.
I don't know. I don't know if I would call that a broke duck. But then again, yeah, I would think so. I think I probably had maybe one in particular that you sit there and you do all these things for them, you nurture them, you get the person to where you see them, then they realize who they are, and then they go to the left. And then everything you done talked about that you start building on, and you just all go poof, and it goes to someone else. And you're like, what?
Yes.
What's going on? And then you almost start, it makes you start questioning yourself. Yeah. Because it almost makes you feel like, what am I doing wrong? Am I not good enough for this person that they can't see the good in me? And then for me, I'm like, you know, I'm educated. I take care of everything. I have my own, you know, my own everything. I don't ask for help. So that's why I'd be like, well, golly, what I need to do? Like, not have my own stuff? Like, what? That's the crazy part about being single, because you feel like you found the right one, because they're talking the same thing that you want to hear. They're doing all these things. Then when you finally really open yourself up, it's like you looking at a different person. Like everything just changes. So that's why I'm like, now I'm single in this world. And like you, I'm just sitting here just waiting. I'm not going to say nothing negative because my end goal is I want to get married. Like I have friends that have gotten married and, you know, they went in their situations, but I'm like, I still want that. I still want to feel that. I'm not going to say I'm never going to have it. Maybe not at the age that I am now, but it doesn't mean like it's not going to happen. Not on my timeline at this point, because my timeline was 25 and now I'm 41. So it's whatever happens.
So the other question I had, because you mentioned it, this relationship with the so-called broke duck, like, how long did it take for that to happen, or for like for you to figure out that you
and
your partner were like going in the wrong direction at that point?
Oh God, it took years. Let's say
he showed his true colors at that point. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it took years. It took me many years to finally really open my eyes and see the negative side. Like I always saw the good in this person. And I think that's the part that just kept me there, because I've always saw like the good. Everybody else seen all the bad parts, mm-hmm. but I just saw the good stuff. But I knew like he had those bad things, but I always just overlooked it until it got to a certain point.
Love was too powerful.
Yeah. I was just all in love. I was in love.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that a lot, to where the person in the relationship does not see what's actually going on, because they're in love, they're in awe, they're in the the honeymoon phase. Mm-hmm. They don't see that, but everyone around sees it, because they see how, you know, he's possibly treating you, or how he's dismissive on the conversations that you have, or like when you turn your back, he's like, oh, she's this, oh, she's that, you know, she doesn't do this right. But he don't tell you to your face. Mm-hmm. You know, he or she just basically, you know, goes behind your back and talks about you. And then, you know, later on, of course, your friends that are also friends with him, you know, they're going to communicate and be like, well, Kimberly, you know, he's actually doing this, he's doing that.
He said, and that's what it was. Wow. It was like that. It really, and he's right. Because it was the friends that would like randomly come like, hey, you know, he da 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 da. And I'm like, what? And then I would know, like, it's the friends telling me, like, you can do much better. And I'm like, oh,
you know, okay. The worst part about it, the worst part about it is you actually start to dislike that friend.
Oh,
because you think that friend is against you or want that person that you're with or something. Yeah. You know, it's always something that happens to where you actually push that friend away because they're telling you the truth. And you're like, you know what? I'm not going to speak to that person, because guess what? They only speak negative about my, you know, significant other. And it really, they're telling you the truth. They're trying to do their best to tell you, but they tell you in a way like they have to beat around the bush, because they know if they tell you direct, you know, you're going to be like, look, I don't even want to talk to you. You know, don't come to my house. You stop inviting them over. You know, you kind of like, you know, just roll your eyes and just walk away. So, I mean, it happens. I mean, it happened to me. You know, people say, you know, my ex, you know, they're like, well, she always does this, you know, or whenever we're around, you know, because this was a big thing she did. And I told Kim this before, you know, we would go to people's house, and, you know, common courtesy is you go to someone's house and you say, hey, how you doing? You greet, you know, people. You don't have to greet everybody at the damn party, but, you know, you're going to greet at least the host, the main people, and things like that. You know, she would be sitting in front of the host and the hostess and like, ignore them. Like, you're at their house. You can't just, you know, be sitting face-to-face with them and kind of ignore them or act like you didn't want to be here. If you didn't want to be here, don't come, you know, but... You know, that was a common thing. And they would come to me and be like, did you see that your ex, you know, didn't even say hi to me? And I'd be like, nah, that's not true. I'm sure she said hi. You just didn't hear it. You know, being that person, you know, you're in love. You're going to skip over what happens. You're like, nah, they wouldn't do that. I know better. But of course, you know, around her peoples or her friends, she's a little bit different. She's going to be open, outgoing, talking more often to them, you know, whereas the people that she kind of has like an issue with, she's gonna like, you know, overlook them and things like that.
See, and my issue was, I thought I can love this person to get him to be the way I wanted him to be, love him out of his dysfunction. I was like, okay, I see it's not working, because we was engaged and he bought the ring, the dress, everything. He did everything. But it was just, you know how a guy see a girl, you know, he wouldn't be a man if he didn't think, you know, look at her, right? But this is totally disrespectful. I was pregnant with our son. We got pregnant really quick. And I'm in the other aisle in the store. It's a little small store, though. And I hear him, "Ooh, baby." Like,
oh, yeah.
And I'm like, right then and there, I was like, until he work on something with him, because you're a womanizer, that I didn't want to get married. So we went, and I didn't, since I was pregnant with my son, I wanted to still keep the relationship. So let me just give him, you know, I got over the anger. Let me just love him into wholeness. Let me just keep even pouring more into him. And as I did that, I broke myself down. Yeah. I was breaking down, because the more that he would say, "Oh, you know, you the caretaker, you take care of kids and da da da, I take care of the home, I got this, no, don't worry, and go to school and do this." But when it got closer to me graduating and closer to me, you know, getting financially, you know, stable, he started pulling back more. So when he started elevating at his job, because I was there while you elevated, I never asked you to take off to deal with the kids, sickness or whatever. He became a true monster. And that monster always was there, and I always seen him, but I chose not. I wasn't putting on the glasses to see what everybody else seen. So it was just that around my graduation, he didn't show up. It took me for a 2-year degree. It took me 4 years to get. He didn't show up. He didn't say congratulations. And I was like, okay. Well, this is not really what I want. But I started praying on it, going more to church. "Look, God, I'm letting you have it." But when God started pulling us away from each other, I was like, "Oh, no, 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 God, that's not really what I want. No, 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 no." Now, when God pulled it away and I asked for him to heal me, we walked away from each other. And it wasn't, I don't have no bad blood. I don't know what he had for me, but I don't have no bad blood from him. Because I'm not hurting no more. Because all that you did to me brought me down, made me feel I was too short. I was too fat. I was too dark. I mean, it was just everything. Then when I lost weight, it was just, I don't feel that no more. And it's a blessing. So when a guy does make me feel that way, okay, you know, I'm letting you know. I'm not going to deal with this. And then I'll start praying and stepping back. Let me just remove myself, because you're repeating a pattern that I already been through.
So here's the second part of that question. Unless you have something, Kimberly. Nothing yet.
Just pretty much. It's like listening to Kim speak. I kind of felt like when you're in that moment with those types of guys, I felt like I was losing a part of myself during that time. Yes. Like the person that I once was, wasn't the person that was evolving during that particular time. Like you were saying, like, I just started feeling like bad about myself, like just downgrading myself, not saying that I was, you know, bad or anything, but it was just the whole situation that made me feel like maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe, you know, I'm not doing something right. And just like you, I was in college with a kid going full time and working full time. And I didn't get nothing in return. He didn't say nothing. He didn't do nothing. It was just like, "Oh, you're in school." And that's it. Graduated from school and he didn't come. And I'm like, I did all this. Mm-hmm. And you could even say, "Oh, you did great. You have a kid. You have a child. You doing this. You were great." Like nothing. And I didn't really break free from that until I decided to move. Once I moved, then I was able to kind of de-stress from that situation and start figuring out, like, where did Kim go? Mm-hmm. Like, where did I go? Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, you know, putting yourself back together. And it's piece by piece by piece. Literally.
Yes. Ooh, yes.
So, Kimberly, when is too much disrespect enough? Like, when can you say you've had enough? That's it. You know, I'm not dealing with this anymore.
When you get tired of fighting over stupid things, that's when you get to the point of enough is enough. When you get to a certain age, you're like, there are better ways we can handle this. And it just got to a point where I was just like, I can't talk to you no more, because we're not getting anywhere, because we're both not listening to each other. We keep, you know, talking over each other, and we keep wanting to say, okay, who's going to be the winner this time? who's going to talk more crap about the other person? Mm-hmm. And I just got to a point where I was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, this is stressing me out. Like, I shouldn't be stressed out about any of this. Like, we should be able to talk and communicate like adults and not sit there and talk down on each other. Even though you don't like this person, you shouldn't say negative things about them or wish negative, you know, stuff to happen to them, because you don't want that to happen. Because if something did happen to them, you know, I would be sad. I would be upset. I would be crying. Mm-hmm. So it was just to a point of, I just wanted to just be free and be stress-free and live a happier life, because I knew I was at a point where I was sad all the time. And I was like, this is not how, you know, it's supposed to be. Right. So I was the one that took the initiative to say, okay, I'm done. I am done. And just walked away from it. Now we're good. We're great. We joke around. We talk. We know now as adults, because I'm 41, you 42. We know, okay, when we get to that point, okay, I'll talk to you later. And that's it. And we, you know, let it go. And we move on. Now we're cool.
You get to the point where if you see the conversation is going the wrong way, you can just say, okay, talk to you later. Yep. You know, we don't need to talk anymore. And that's how we do. When I was married, like, I knew the breaking point was when she would always just bring up old relationships, or, you know, I know you did this when you were with such and such. Because, I mean, there came a time where we, you know, me and my fiance, we split, and I kind of went back with my ex-wife and tried to fix things, you know, for the best, and did the whole, you know, move back together, and it didn't work. You know, it was constant, oh, you did this with her, you used to do this with her, and I know that you like this because of her. So I mean, once it gets to that point, I felt like you felt, you know, I don't think I need to be in a relationship if it's like two magnets, you know, opposites, you know, and they're just like fighting against each other and can never come together. Because I feel that if that's going to happen on a day-to-day basis, it's going to happen forever. You know, it's never going to clear up until somebody breaks and says, you know what, here, I'll just do whatever you want, you know, me to do. But, you know, that can happen. You know, like, I feel that, you know, if she feels she needs to win, then I feel I need to win. There's never going to be a winner. Yep. Everybody's going to lose.
Keep going back and forth. It's going to be a back and forth thing.
Kids are in the middle. So they're the biggest losers out of everything, because now, you know, they don't have a mom and dad that's together. You know, we could still co-parent, but it's not the same. It's never the same. Oh, I felt ever since we divorced, it actually got a little worse. You know, not a relationship between me and the kids, but it was more me and the baby mama, you know, my ex, you know. And, you know, she said what she said to whatever she said to the kids, and, you know, it just got worse. It just went downhill at that point.
That's crazy. See, for me, what happened, I prayed on it, but I didn't want it to happen, right? I was like, it can be fixed, God. But for me, God had to remove the situation. And what God had to do is allow things to happen. He was like, okay, so you're not going to let him go. You're not going to move, so I'm going to fix it for you. And when God did it, oh my God, I went into this deep depression, because it was so many things. It was my Job moment, right? So my son, before he was murdered, he was like, Mom, you don't need this. And that never, my kids are not disrespectful, but they felt a difference in me. You know, I wasn't happy-go-lucky mom no more. He said, Mom, you don't need that dude. You got my little brother and sister. Let that dude go and you live your life. You good. And I took that and when I went to San Antonio for my youngest son's birthday, and he didn't call and say happy birthday to his own son. Okay. And it was just like God moved. And my son got murdered. this dude been in my son's life since he was like 9 and a half. Didn't call. My son was 21 at the time. Didn't call. Didn't say anything. And I was just like sunken. I didn't care where he was or what he was doing. It was just like, yes, this is the pattern of my losing this season. This is my season to go through the Job. So I guess when I went through all that and stuff was just moving, God moved stuff out of the way. Like, I just left the house completely. Didn't fight for anything. And I, you know, it was a relief then. And I don't have anything to say to him. I mean, I guess when we went to court for child support and, you know, he called me or whatever. Dude, every time you get a raise, every 3 years, I'm going to get a raise. So that's as simple as that. I don't have no hate for you because we did have some good times. You just had your big head and you started making more money, you getting more things. So you forgot about what was really at hand, who was there. So I don't have no hate for him, but I like how Tupac said, because I don't have hate for you, I don't want you to eat at the same table as me. You can eat, but I don't want you at my table. So you can be wherever. And so I learned from that situation. And as I'm going through and checking my list of what I want, I told Anthony yesterday, which he jokes so much.
Go ahead. What is it?
So I want a man to give me, this is what one of my other things, I want a man to give me PPL. And that's to protect, to provide, and to love me. He ain't got to give me money. He don't have to provide financially. If you can provide emotionally, if I can come and just, you don't have to say nothing. If I'm having a bad day, if something's going on and I just shed a tear, just give me that embrace. That's it.
Yep.
That's all I want. And if I can't get that, you're not the man for me.
I want that.
Yes. PPL.
I want that. Yes. I'm like, financially, I don't need your money. I can get my own money.
That's
so
it.
I ain't looking for that. I ain't looking for financial gain or nothing. I'm looking for just love, acceptance. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm calling you or if I'm texting you, you like, respond.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tell me, oh, it's going to be okay. We going to talk about it later. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I'm looking for.
Yes.
I'm the same.
Yes. I'm the same. And then he called it, what you call it?
I don't even remember. First,
he said that's a PayPal account. I was like,
PayPal.
PPL. Anthony,
oh my God. He's silly.
What's the other one? PPP loan?
Yeah. He's silly. He's silly. But he does that. He is, even, you know, he has a fiance, and I'm going to say he's like a brother to me, because if I'm on this, like last week we was talking. And I said, man, I need a tire for my truck. It's like the weirdest size tire. I didn't see him. He just started looking. Okay, let's look on here. You don't need a brand new tire because my tire is weird on my truck. You don't need a brand new tire. Let's look for this. And da da da. He just started sending me information. Yeah. That's what a friend, you know, that's what I want. I want to be able to laugh, joke. You know, you respect me and I respect you.
Yeah,
but you know, because we ain't gonna always like each other. I'm fine with it because you ain't gonna like me. I'm gonna have my days and be like, ugh. But you care. You genuinely care and love me. That's all I need, really. Yeah. That's it.
And that's what we found out, Kimberly. We've talked to, you know, couples that have been together a little bit of time, and then, you know, what, 27 years.
Yes.
And we come to find out that you don't have to like each other. You do have to stick together, but there's days that you don't like each other. You know, you go your way, I go my way, be in your own room or something, and then later on, you know, you mend it. You know, it's not a fight. It's just, you know, you'll end up mending it together.
Yeah. But you need to have somebody that's going to be open like that, too.
Because
if the person ain't open like that and they take it to heart and be like mean and rude and don't want to work it out, that's when the hard stuff happens. Because you can talk to them all day until you're blue in the face, but are they going to really listen and take in like your feelings and take that into account of when you're talking to them? Are they actually listening to what you're saying?
Because
you know how some people say, oh, but you didn't tell me. But if you were listening, you would understand.
Yes.
One thing I do need to mention, and like I said, you're free to have your opinion. I mean, and I told Kim this, you know, it's okay to move in together, but you don't have to. But I think that relationship, you build your relationship. I mean, you don't have to, but you know, you can build your relationship better if you know that person, you live with them. Because guess what happens? There's a lot of people that live separate, and once they move in together, that's when everything just goes downhill. That's why a lot of I've seen so many like young couples that, you know, one has lived with their mom, the other one has lived with their mom or dad, and then they come together, they get married. This is like their first time actually living together, and guess what happens? Everything just goes downhill because they didn't know that person was dirty. You know, they didn't know that person had like a habit of watching, you know, so much TV or being on a computer, which, you know, most guys do. Most guys take up, you know, online gaming. I do it all the time. I mean, I don't just do podcasts all the time, but I do online gaming, you know. But like I told Kim before, I set myself a certain amount of time, you know, per week. Let's not say per day, because I can tell you that honestly, in the last 2 months, I probably did some online gaming maybe one time, and it was maybe like 30 minutes. And it wasn't even an online game. It was like a game I played on the computer. And I mean, I just set a time aside. Like back, you know, a couple months ago, I was playing more often. The game was newer, you know, but you wouldn't know that about that person because they can be online gaming and you're talking to them on the phone and they can still talk to you. You wouldn't know no different. You'll know that they might not be responding to everything you're saying. So they may miss what you said at that point. But, you know, I think you don't have to live together, but you got to see what their surroundings are, what they do, what is their common place that they do, you know, what habits they have, you know, do they drink a lot? Do they like to, you know, not be clean? You know, because it happens, you know, if you're a clean person, you're not going to want somebody that's not clean. That's just like me. My mom smoked for 20, 30 years. And once she stopped smoking, like I couldn't stand smoke. So I will never date a woman that smokes. Now, if you smoke a cigar here and there, you know, I'm used to cigars. That's a different thing. You know, my line of work, I can tolerate smoking because I've been into many people's homes all the time because I used to be a tech and a tech supervisor. So I could tolerate it, but I'm not going to tolerate it at home. Mm-hmm. You know, if we smoke, we'll like have a cigar at the pool, but we don't smoke inside the house just because I don't want that smell lingering on stuff. And it's not against anything to anyone that smokes. It's just once my mom stopped smoking, that smell was just like a turnoff. Like I couldn't stand it, you know. So it could be anything, you know. Some, you know, I can be at a store and I know that clerk or that person smokes because I can smell it. You know, it's based on their body. They, you know, but they don't know that. They don't know.
They're used to it.
It's common to them. It's just like someone who has cats. You know, they'll have like hairs and everything, or you know, if they have like horrible cats that pissed the whole time and you know their apartment or home smells like ammonia, they don't smell that. You know, you come to someone's home, I've been to many homes, and you smell it, it's like smacks you in your face, you know. But that's a whole nother story. But I mean, it's got to be, you know, what I'm trying to say is you have to learn that person. You have to know what they like, know what they don't like, so like that you can, you know, make a better relationship at that point.
But I think you got to know, okay, first of all, so you're not moving in together, y'all probably spend the night at each other's house every blue moon. That has to be, to me, it has to be defined what we doing. Because if we're moving, okay, we liking each other and we gonna see where this go type thing. Okay, let me get up from your house and cook you some breakfast or whatever. But if we just, okay, we taking care of each other's needs. I got my needs taken care of, you did. Okay, I'm out the door. You know, I think that mentally, I need to get that out of my head, because you can be like, I'm not, you know, we didn't define nothing in the beginning. but we're getting along so well that, oh, it's moving into this stage that, okay, now I want a relationship with you, but I never showed you the relationship side of me. I only showed you the side that, okay, you know, let's take care of business. You know what I'm saying? So it's right now it's an up and down since I'm actually getting, you know, cleansing myself of some things to get right for my duck that's okay. I ain't gonna say he ain't gonna be broke. He gonna be a little broken because we all not right or all not fixed, but he ain't gonna be, his beak ain't gonna be hanging out, you know, or, you know, he's sliding his little, what, web feet or whatever. He have a little, you know, some little issues, but that's it. But yeah, I think that's the thing that we need to do. I mean, we stay at each other's house, but we have to define what we're doing. So once we define that, I'm gonna show you that relationship side.
Yeah, you gotta communicate.
Define the relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like if y'all just hanging out, then you gotta say, "Hey, we're just hanging out." You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, or if it's like we're building a relationship, you gotta tell them. Just like you say, you wake up and you cook breakfast. First thing you gotta say is, if you don't like cooking breakfast every day, is be like, "Hey, I'm doing this. I like cooking breakfast sometimes, but this is not a common thing. I'm normally cook breakfast every morning." Because guess what? That person's going to get used to that and going to
want it all the time.
Yeah. Mm. You know, because not everybody cooks anymore.
Well, that's true.
You got to let them know, hey, I'll cook for you because this is a special occasion. We're getting to know each other, but this is not common. I like to go out, you know, especially if you're single and you have that routine already. You know, hey, I can just come home and eat a salad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need nothing else. I don't need, you know, all this expensive stuff. So that has to be laid out, because that's what happens if you don't.
Yeah,
he's gonna want steak, lobster, or steak and potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
You're in with your salad, and you already have your salad stuff at home. You know, you have to go to like HEB or Kroger, go buy a full course, you know, meal from there and bring it home. Because guess what? You already told him. You know, he's going to find, you know, if it's, you know, fend for yourself when you get home, then you got to tell him, look, I'm okay.
I don't cook all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to let him know. You know, everything, communication in the beginning. Don't, you know, put up this front. And I know guys do this a lot. They try to open the door, do this and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? 4 months down the line, it just starts going down the line. And I know, because I'm a man. I know, you know, we do this. You know,
mm-hmm.
the same thing. They'll start cooking because the mom, you know, is like, you better find your woman that cooks.
You know,
full belly means love or whatever, you know, they say. It's always the same, you know, but you have to, you know, come to this point and communicate and be like, well, I don't cook. So come into this relationship, either you cook and then I cook, you know, vice versa, or you cook, I wash the dishes, or I'll cook, you wash the dishes, and we'll do that once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Something's got to give, unless, you know, you're just a person that cooks every day and you're used to doing it, you know, used to doing that, then fine. And you let them know, I cook every day, but it's very small meals, or I prepack stuff, or it's something, you know, you have to communicate that, because if you're building your relationship on a lie, then guess what? It's just going to go downhill once, you know, the honeymoon phase is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's true.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we answered both questions. Do you have any questions for us, Kimberly?
No, I don't have any questions. I enjoyed this conversation today. I learned a lot. I learned a lot today.
Remember that
I need to be writing down.
Yeah, remember that PPL.
Yep, that's a first.
Ah.
I'm going to have to put that down in my notes.
PPL.
Oh my God.
Hey, pal. Yeah.